Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678, and you can follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. Here we are on a Christmas day. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We're here with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
We also have Christmas Day. We also have Glenn. Glenn, how are you?
Great. How you doing?
And we have Casey returning. How are you, Casey?
Hey, good.
Good. All right, so Merry Christmas again to all who celebrate and to everyone else. So here we are. So let's quickly review Week 15 in the NFL. What everybody's been talking about ad nauseum all week. We're recording this on Christmas Day, so it's a Friday. So by now it's old news, but the Panthers-Giants game, Panthers stand defeated in the Meadowlands. And then, of course, the big news before with that is Odell Beckham Jr. Going off his rocker pretty much and attacking Josh Norman.
Trash talk.
Yeah, they were fighting.
A little bit of trash talk during the week leading up to the game and the pregame.
Just a little bit, the pregame leading up. And
bringing a black bat onto the field.
I think it started the week before when Beckham wore the Joker sneakers. Did you see that?
Yes, I saw the Joker sneakers.
And Norman's then supposed to be the Batman.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he came out with presents. Like it. He had shoes with presents all over them.
I saw that.
And then with that, I saw Antonio Brown in the Steelers game, and his sneakers had like Christmas lights on it. So it's a fashion choice. It's that time of year.
Yeah, it's a festive time of year.
So so they've been going on throughout the game and the week leading up, I should say. And you know, the Panthers apparently had been bringing bats out before the all season long.
I think the whole season, yeah.
Yeah, like the bringing of the wood. Which apparently people traced all the way back to the Saints and Reggie Bush, and I think it was 05 right. or whatever, bringing the wood, you know. But then, of course, they also had a bounty gate, so yeah, we'll see how that turns out.
A lot of things went on with the Saints, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So I think that was kind of the start. So, yeah, bringing the bat out, swinging the bat, like, all right, we have to bring the wood, and pointing it at Odell Beckham Jr., and apparently some slurs going back and forth, and he was the target of a lot of this, and he felt like he had to defend himself, and Josh Norman and him were pushing and shoving at the beginning of the game. Even that one shot where he like body slammed him.
I watched the whole game, and started from the very first play.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going right at it, and then the second play, it like looked like Norman stopped and let Beckham run right into him and then flipped him over him. And then I think the third play of the game was the drop touchdown or something like that.
Yeah.
It was very fast.
The one off his face, and then he's going, my bad. Well, of course it's your bad. It's nobody else's.
Well, it's all about him. He's a diva.
Well, aren't all wide receivers?
Well, they're flamingos.
Well, of course they are.
They wear the purple hats with the yellow feather. They're prancers.
They do. They really do. I mean, they're half ballerinas to begin with. I mean, with their athleticism.
Well, he was doing ballerina moves in the end zone in pregame.
That's true.
Part of the, yeah.
And he does a show every pregame. He does the one-handed grabs.
Oh,
all and now we see a lot of
he
other.
He had a couple of really good-looking grabs in the pregame of that game, too.
Yes. I mean,
that drop was an anomaly.
Absolutely.
I think that happens once a season.
Yeah.
Just happened to be at the worst
just
time.
Right off his face mask, and that really would have set the tone for the Giants to really put them into the driver's seat, but no, it just didn't happen. And then, of course, that led to, I think it was the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, I forget which one, and then Beckham and Norman really go at it at one point.
When he speared him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was dirty.
And then Beckham chasing after him at the end of the play and leading with his helmet, getting Norman, from what all the angles I saw, it looked like he clipped his chin.
He got him right on the chin.
That head snapped back. But
Norman looked like he was fine. He didn't look like he had a concussion or anything.
Yeah.
It was definitely a dirty shot.
You know, with the concussion movie coming out and all this stuff about, like, when you see that, that's what's getting vilified. Yes, Norman and the Panthers were not necessarily in the right in goading him as much as they did.
But you know who was in the wrong? The officials.
Well,
it was horrible.
Yeah, no,
they didn't throw a flag until the second half.
I agree.
What was going on there?
What was it? Three consecutive plays or on sportsmanlike conduct, and then after that play with the head.
Then there was a play where Beckham threw a punch and then took off his helmet and marched off the field and no flag was thrown. That's illegal as far as I know.
I'm pretty sure.
Several pages of the rule book.
Exactly. But, yeah, so this has been big news all week, and, of course, it led to him being suspended for a game, which was right. Look, again, the news and casual fans and even just the public at general who aren't football watchers, they just see that one moment of Beckham leading with his head, and, well, there's your moment right there.
But, I mean, in all fairness, he wasn't ejected.
No, he wasn't. He should have been, though.
So then how do you get suspended afterwards?
That was what I was thinking, you know.
Heavily fine the guy. And you let him. I mean, that's part of the entertainment for us. I mean, they want to whitewash the violence from the game. I mean,
it's a violent game to begin with.
They're not protected with that much
equipment
if it's not a violent game.
I've talked about numerous times, you know, living in the tri-state New York area, about, you know, when the games get boring, you know, you just give me a new game. And by when it was 35-7, I was like, I need a new game. But there's no other games on. But lo and behold, the game began.
We would have missed an exciting end because the Giants stormed back.
Yeah, it's very rare, but this was one of those times.
The fans had left.
Oh, gosh, man, they had left.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
In droves, so many empty seats. They kept showing that.
But MMA's popular for a reason.
Yes.
People love violence.
Well, of course.
Especially when they're insulated in their living room.
Yeah. That's absolutely
right. I really agree. I do not think he should have been suspended because I think the officials just dropped the ball during the game. If they're not going to flag him and they're not going to throw him out of the game, how could they suspend him after the fact? It doesn't make sense.
I understand that, but having that moment and having concussions and... he was in the wrong. And with all the pressure on the NFL in the past, I mean, you've seen it with, who was it, Case Keenum a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
You know, they sent him right back
they
out
got
after
decapitated
he got his bell wrong. You see Fitzpatrick a couple weeks ago against the Titans. He goes in, leads. How a man from Harvard leads with his head, I'll never understand.
His best muscle.
Yeah, apparently it's like, I went to Harvard, I played football, so I'll just leave with my
head. It's the most protected part of the body.
I know, but
when
you see these hits in the
helmet is a weapon on the field, it really is.
But right now it's a hot topic.
Yeah.
In the NFL, with the movie coming out, with all these last couple weeks, Case Keenum, Fitzpatrick specifically. I mean, when you have that, it's putting, it's a spotlight on it. And so when you have somebody who's legitimately leading with their helmet and causing...
malicious intent.
Yes, causing violence.
Yeah. Doesn't every running back do that?
But not to that.
But they have to lead with their head.
Okay.
What are they going to lead with?
But do they do it after the whistle?
No. They're also not intentionally going helmet to helmet every time either. They're trying to finish off a run. They're not trying to give themselves a concussion.
They're hoping when they put their helmet down, they hit somebody's chest.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't hope they hit somebody's helmet. So... that's why they needed the suspension. He should have been thrown out of the game, which would have been okay for the suspension, obviously. Mm-hmm. But look, it was just bad. So
I think there was a call, like Carl Banks was on doing the Giants game on the radio, and he was calling for him to be thrown out.
Yes.
There's Giants fans, you know, just saying it's despicable. You know something's up.
No, he's hurting the team.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, so many other people, Coughlin saying he didn't see it, Eli Manning saying, like, all right. You know, just all this other stuff. Other people were to blame. But really, at the same time, this is an adult who gets paid a lot of money and who gets a lot of licensing fees and is the face of Madden football and, you know...
Head and shoulders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
People know who he is.
Beep, he gets blamed.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
But part of the game's mental. And clearly, he can't handle it. I mean, he looked like a high school kid out there. Norman got into his head and he just... let it get to
him. And then later on, when he catches the touchdown pass and he's running up and down the sidelines, cheer, go, let's go, let's go. And then lo and behold, the Giants defense can't stop anybody, and they win in overtime. The Panthers did so. Undefeated season continues. No more black bats for the Panthers to begin the games. Also in Week 15, the Jets-Cowboys game in Dallas, and Matt Cassel threw a really bad interception. Anybody see that?
Yes.
He
saw the mixed extra point that caused the spread to be blown up. That's what I saw.
That is true. So, that too. But yeah, Matt Cassel trips over his feet, and he doesn't want to get sacked, so he throws the ball away directly into the...
He didn't want to be there.
No, he didn't want... And so they took him out.
And so they gave him an early ride home.
Yes. Kellen Moore comes in.
A lefty quarterback.
A lefty quarterback from Boise State. I was always a fan of
who looks like Johnny Manziel Jr. He's so tiny on that field.
Yes. Well, that's why he went to Boise State.
Yeah,
as opposed
so
to, you know.
But just picture, you're the right tackle.
Yeah.
And then a lefty comes in. Now it's all on you.
What?
Right?
Oh,
like,
man.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I'm not trained for this, but now he gets to start in week 16.
He throws three interceptions, and the Cowboys fans are very optimistic about
yes.
the future.
They're like, hey, it's a fourth quarterback starting in 1 year for the Cowboys,
yeah,
which is amazing.
Good.
Also, we had possibly the last games in St. Louis and San Diego. Both of them winners.
Maybe Oakland.
Maybe Oakland. And all of them won. All of them, in fact, won. So one of those teams might go to L.A. It seems like San Diego is the most likely one to go. St. Louis is maybe. You know, Stan Kroenke owns the land in L.A. that they want to build that big, giant farm. Was it State Farm? The State Farm Center or whatever. I forget
what
it is. But he's also, he might come back to St. Louis. He's actually from Missouri, too, and he wants to leave. Crazy. The Seahawks are winning with the arm of Russell Wilson as opposed to the legs of him and Lynch.
Yeah, he's a mature quarterback now. It takes 3 to 5 years to learn the trade.
Right.
And he's there.
But it's interesting that it happens mid-season, and it's because Marshawn Lynch goes down and Thomas Rawls goes down and Fred Jackson isn't as good.
I think it's also their receivers are, you know, they're playing very, very well, you know.
Right. But
I don't think Wilson is remarkably better today than he was on the first day of the season. I think the team has just matured.
And they had to change the playbook because of a weakened offensive line, a loss of backfield help, and the loss of Jimmy Graham. And said, let's just throw it. And lo and behold, like they're putting up like 4 or 5 touchdowns a game. Unbelievable.
Does he have 20 touchdowns in 4 games or something
like
that? Yeah.
Well,
the line's
that's 13.5
Yeah.
For the Rams.
Yeah.
And they beat him earlier this year.
Yes,
right?
They did.
But that was at Rams.
That was at Rams. And now it's
the Rams always play Seattle really hard.
They do.
Yeah.
So that 13.5, you like that.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams always bring it against Seattle.
Yeah.
And how do you like their quarterback?
The Rams quarterback?
Yeah.
Case Keenum?
Is it Keenum starting this
week?
Yeah,
it's Keenum.
Yeah.
He's just a body.
Yeah. He really is.
Foles wasn't the answer.
No. Foles wasn't the answer, and neither was Bradford and Philly.
No. Is Brock Osweiler, is he Nick Foles?
I think Osweiler is a strong candidate to be a starter next year. I don't know if it's going to be in Denver, but I think he's a strong candidate to start in the NFL.
It's very tough.
You don't think there's jinx in the armor there?
He's 6'5". What is he like? 6'5".
He's very tall.
Like 250. Like he's a big guy.
Very big.
Yeah, I think he's got a really strong arm. He's leading the offense. You know they lost a close game against Pittsburgh. Thankfully, I really needed Pittsburgh to win because I'm a New England fan.
You are a Patriots fan. But that's what I was going to bring up, that Denver failing on the road after they had a big lead in Pittsburgh.
That was a good game.
And then, but also what I don't think is being mentioned is the loss of a key Tlaib in that game. Because then, who was that, Harris Jr.? Somebody had to take over on Brown, and that was just such a bad mismatch.
He did such a bad mismatch.
And then, lo and behold, the Steelers pull it out. The Steelers are like the Cardinals of baseball. Like, they never.
They're just always around. Ben's really. Yeah. Ben's amazing.
It's all about Ben and those wide receivers. That's the best tandem.
Again,
out there.
A loss of a running back, and you have somebody who just slides in.
Yeah, who was it? Bryant late in the game, that pass?
Oh, yeah, Martavius Bryant.
Yeah, he's amazing,
like,
too.
And there was just a split shot, you know, where he was open, and Roethlisberger just thread the needle, you know, boom.
Brown, right, Whedon, and Bryant are just, they're unbelievable right now. So
their running back, though, is no slouch.
D'Angelo Williams.
He had what, 7 really good years in Carolina?
Yes.
Like, he's not a scrub.
I know,
but
when you go from Le'Veon Bell to then
Le'Veon Bell's a Hall of Famer, put it that way. If he comes back healthy, he's a Hall of Famer.
If those legs stay healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe.
When the weed's not waffling out the windows.
He reminds me of is Marshall Faulk. He reminds me a lot of Marshall Faulk.
You know what?
That's saying a lot.
That is.
Yeah, it is Marshall Faulk.
That's kind of, in this day and age in the NFL, that's what you want. If you can have a Marshall Faulk.
I think he's more patient runner than Faulk.
Yeah. Bell is? He might be, I
think so. Well, behind, Steelers always have a good offensive line.
He's like in slow motion behind the line, and then he's 12 yards down the field.
Well, isn't it amazing? They picked up that running back from the Panthers.
D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah.
And how good is he?
Very good.
Yeah, and I mean, Panthers, I think he's made a Pro Bowl before.
They don't skip a beat without him.
Mm-hmm. No.
And this is the first time he's really had much of the workload because he was splitting time with Jonathan Stewart for on for and off
years. He was like 2 years, you know? He was the guy, and then, he wasn't really.
Well, it was so
he's
a
got
difference.
Fresh legs, probably.
It is. Yeah.
Had they had him last year?
Yeah.
Who, D'Angelo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, it's true. Very good point.
Too many ifs.
That's right. And then to finish off week 15, the Cardinals win big in Philadelphia. And believe it or not, Philadelphia is still alive even with that loss. The good thing they don't measure it on points allowed. At least I think that's the 12th tiebreaker.
Well, I think it went from Chip Kelly to Chip Monk.
That's right. But David Johnson, what, he had 3 touchdowns? He was just unbelievable.
He's the fantasy football MVP.
And thankfully I had him in one of my, and that allowed me to move on to finals, but we'll get to that later. So the Cardinals win big. All right, so let's move to week 16. As we mentioned, we're recording this on Friday. The last game possibly happened in Oakland, and Oakland pulled it out in overtime. Let's see what I'm looking for is, aside from the Rams and the Chargers, after that big emotional high of winning their possibly last game in front of the fans, now they're on the road. That's the Rams. So they win possibly the last home game in St. Louis.
Right.
Now they go up to Seattle, who, as aforementioned, Russell Wilson and the offense have been taking off. So
they're getting 13.5.
They're getting 13, as we mentioned. And currently, I have it at 6.5. Yeah, Carolina's given 6. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong. I apologize. I'm sorry. You're right. 13. Wrong. Wrong one. Sorry. So Seattle's getting 13, or giving 13, I should say. And then the Chargers are going. Where are the Chargers going?
Nowhere.
Chargers played last night.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The Chargers lost. They lost.
And they had a lead late, too, and they lost that game.
That's right. Yeah. So there you go. So right there. So that's a loss of the emotional high.
But they covered. That line was 5.5.
Yeah. And the Oakland pulled out in overtime. So who are you? Who are your best bets this week?
Well, I'm liking the Redskins.
The Redskins at the Eagles, pretty much for the division. Redskins win, and they win that division mercifully. If that happens,
someone had to win.
Someone's going to win because don't forget the Redskins don't do well on the road. No. Kirk Cousins, his splits home and road are they're day and night.
He's Russell Wilson at home, and he's. High school quarterback.
He's Robert Griffin III on the road.
I think the Eagles are slumping. I think since week 11.
Right.
I mean, I know they beat the Patriots. You know, that was their Super Bowl.
On some lucky plays.
I mean, they got the horrible linebacker play. They got the bad secondary. They got now they're going to have to play Sproles and.
Matthews. Oh, yeah, Murray. Yeah, because Matthew's out. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think they're a little hamstrung.
They are. So you like the Redskins?
I do.
Getting 3?
I do.
And they have 10 people on the field when Murray's on the field. Has there been a worse offseason signing that anyone can remember in a long time?
No, I think they're not using him right. I mean, he's a north and south runner.
Yeah.
Every time you see him, he's going left and right.
No, well, in that offense, that's what they need.
But that's, they need people that are fast, that can get to the corner.
True.
Chip Kelly was supposed to have the biggest playbook in the league, and I think they run 5 plays, and everybody knows them.
But the thing is, too, when you have a player like that, you know, you've got to come up with plays that cater to that player.
Exactly.
Yes.
If you're a good coach, you've got to utilize your talent. You can't make your talent work in your system.
Well, the offensive line is not their strong point.
No.
So a guy like Sproles, a guy like Matthews.
You need somebody blocking
him. Better.
Right, that's why. That's part of why Murray was
Sproles can play anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's good.
But that's part of why Murray was so good with the Cowboys, because they had...
They have the best offensive line.
How many Pro Bowlers? I think all five of those offensive linemen were Pro Bowlers.
But he got 25 touches, too.
Well, that too. That helped. But in this offense, when it's, you know, you have 25 seconds to get a playoff in the Chip Kelly system, that's just not going to work, so...
Well, the Redskins eliminated him last year. So you'd think this would be a revenge game.
True. But at the same time, this is the NFC East of this year. And I would not I've said for the last couple of weeks that the Eagles were probably going to win the NFC East. I'm still sticking with that until the Redskins win. A, because the Redskins win, they win the division. And B, because I need to see the Redskins win on the road, which they haven't been able to do.
That game's Saturday. And if the Redskins win, how much influence would that be on the Giants' play?
If the Redskins win?
If the Redskins win, Giants are out.
Right. Yeah.
So what do you think of that line? That line's 6.5. Vikings.
Well, the other the other interesting thing about that is earlier in that day, there are three chances for Minnesota to not only clinch a playoff spot, but also to, I think, clinch the division. If Atlanta loses, and if, oh, what's the other team that loses? There's one other team that loses.
That has to lose, probably the Packers, right?
No. Well, Packers are one of, if Packers lose, they could win the division.
Right.
But that's there's, I forget the other team. That anyway, so
no,
if there's...
The Packers are playing Arizona.
Right, right.
They could easily lose that game.
That's very true. Yeah. Okay, I forget which one. So if there's another team that loses, which is very likely, I think it's the Rams, actually.
Yeah.
So if the Rams lose and the Falcons lose, the Vikings automatically get a playoff spot.
Oh, for the berth, yeah.
Yes, to get play. And I think if the Packers lose, then Minnesota wins the division. There's something in there where they not
didn't,
only...
Didn't Green Bay beat the Vikings, though?
They did.
So they'll be tied.
Okay, well, then then week 17 is for the division.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
So in any case... That game's at that's a night game. That's an 8:30. That's the Sunday night game. So the Vikings could just be sitting there at 8 o'clock and say, "Wait, we're in the playoffs." Peterson's,
you think they're going to mail it in?
Well, Peterson's ankle's hurt, and let's rest him. No. Oh, we don't have to worry.
Who takes that approach?
Well, I'm not saying you don't start Adrian Peterson, but by halftime, you look at the score. There's no Beckham on the other side of the field. Mm-hmm. We can torch these guys. Bridgewater, just start throwing it. We'll put McKinnon in the background. Asiata is a big, big running back.
Yeah,
just throw it, and we'll win the game.
This isn't NASCAR. You don't get off the pedal when you're in the turn. I mean, this is the NFL.
Also, the Giants' pass rush is not a slouch at all.
No, they're not a slouch.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, if they're throwing it every down, I mean, the Giants are going to tee off on Bridgewater.
I understand. But at the same time, when you have to guard Reuben Randle, it's not that hard.
No.
The way he plays.
No, the Giants have nobody playing.
But
the Giants do play
Is
games
Victor Cruz going to suit up this week?
No. In a business suit and sit on the sidelines, yes.
Well, I'm wondering what running back are they going to use in the slot? Are they going to do something without Beckham there? I mean,
it'll be Vereen probably playing
more
first and second down, probably.
You got to do something.
Yeah. He's been playing a lot of first and second down for them the last few weeks.
Right. Yeah.
As well he should. He's a very versatile player.
Right. So... Yeah, so the Vikings. So you like the Vikings giving 6.5 at home? I mean, look, Vikings could possibly. It's very likely they could win that game.
But mm-hmm. If you had the Giants in 6.5 in every game, you would have won a lot of games.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so you like the Vikings at home giving 6.5, and you like the Redskins at on the road getting 3.
Right, and I like the Rams with 13.5, and we shall see.
Right, the Rams 13.5, so we'll see how that goes. Speaking of the Redskins, actually, the courts overturned the patent.
They said that.
Well, the ruling was that...
It was offensive. That was the intention.
Right, you know. But that the government cannot...
Well, it's a free speech.
Right, they can't withhold copyrights based on offensiveness. They brought up examples of a rock band, and they're called they're Asian members, and they're called the Slants. So that's an example. So there are many of those.
Well, actually, that case preceded the Redskins.
Right,
so.
But basically, yeah. But yeah. The precedence was set was we're the U.S. government. We cannot censor something if it's offensive. It falls under free
Everything
speech.
Everything offends everybody.
Of course,
you know?
Of course.
People just have to
suck
it up.
Go into Tumblr. Go into Tumblr and Reddit and have fun.
You look at the Cleveland Indians. I mean, it looks like a drunken scout.
Oh, and Chief Wahoo?
Chief Wahoo isn't really around as much.
Well, he they used to have, back in the 80s, I think it was a Chief Nakahoma.
Yeah.
Who had a teepee out in center field.
The drummer?
Drums
or no?
No, no, this was a guy in the... No. This was a guy in the 80s or 70s. They had a teepee out in center field, and he was called Chief Nakahoma. And there's this big story where when they decided to remove him because they... I forget if it was considered offensive at the time or just like, we don't want to pay the guy.
Yeah.
So,
another relocation of Indians.
So they went on a horrible losing streak, 5-27. And finally, they brought back Chief Nakahoma, and they had this winning streak. So... But they've actually phased out the Chief Nakahoma, the right. Wahoo, or Chief Wahoo Indian right. face for the C or the I, the script I on their on their hats. But they still around.
They've Starbucks'd them.
Pretty much. The Braves have also been trying to, they call it the savage Indian from the 50s, where it's the screaming savage on the side of their patch.
Right.
So now they just have the cross tomahawks on a lot of their retro designs. So they put that out of the way. Also coming up in Week 16, Jets-Pats. I'm a Jet fan.
Big game for both teams.
Yes,
really.
Glenn is a Patriots fan. Jets have a tougher road to the playoffs because they play the Patriots and then the Bills.
They could go 11-5
and not make
the
playoffs.
Playoffs, remarkable. Yeah.
Because the Steelers have and the Chiefs both have a very easy, a soft schedule.
Well, the Chiefs are amazing. How do you lose 5 straight and then go on an 8-9 game right?
Because Andy Reid's their head coach, and they have a pretty good defense.
That's never been done before.
No, it's never been done before.
They also have a pretty strong offense, too.
Well, yeah.
I always liked Alex Smith.
Yes.
Macklin's a burner on the outside.
He is. And half the season, he finally comes around.
Well, who thought that wide receivers would matter in Kansas City after last year?
Well, I knew that could not happen. That could not continue.
It was an anomaly.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Also, you know what also was an anomaly was Andy Reid only throwing the ball for a while. Like, he ran in Philly. Like, it was a big, he was the old Vikings head coach. And he came on and he was like, well, you were the offensive coordinator in Philadelphia when they barely ran the ball. Like, no, that's not me. That was Andy Reid. I think he was bald, glasses. I forget his name. In any case, so I think that's Andy Reid part of it. That's a big part of it.
That's going to kill me until I remember.
I know, right? If you're out there, if you want to tweet at Everyman Sports and tell us the answer, or if you want to call 626-427-7678. No, we're not live, but you record. You leave a message. You say, hey, dummy, it was this guy. Good night. Okay.
I'd love to hear it from him.
All right. I'll be happy. So that's happening. I want to quickly talk about fantasy football. Glenn, you play fantasy football. You're in our Everyman Sports
League. I'm in a couple leagues this year, yeah.
Right. I know you were very sadly in last place in our Everyman Sports League. I'm sorry to say that.
There were some complications
I understand.
I had with the rules set in the league.
I understand, but I try to make it interesting. And
But fantasy interests me, yeah.
Yes. Casey, do you play?
Yeah, I'm in a couple leagues in the championship in one league.
Good luck.
Oh, good
luck.
Congratulations.
Yeah, the other two leagues, I'm a finished dead last.
All right. It happens.
I'm not injuries, in the championship. Like, I didn't make the playoffs.
You didn't make the playoffs in any year? So I'm in two leagues. I made the playoffs in both, as I previously mentioned in previous episodes. I made the championship game in my public league.
Nice.
Thanks to David Johnson.
Yeah.
Was a big, big part of that. And in the Everyman Sports League, I beat Brendan, who was second in our league. He was in first place most of the year. But I was able to pull that game out.
Nice.
And then this upcoming week, Everyman Sports, our championship game is not week 16, it's week 17, as I've mentioned before, because...
I noticed you do the 1 week instead of the 2 week playoff games.
What do you mean? No, it's a 3 week playoff game. Week 15, 16, 17.
In the other leagues that I've played in, we do, it's a 2 week.
Right.
It's a 2 round and it's a 2 week game.
Right.
So...
No, well, this is 3 rounds, 3 weeks.
1 week each game.
Yes, yeah, because week 17, as I've mentioned before, having played fantasy football for so long, since 2001, every week 17, I'm just like, oh, I spent a whole season enjoying this, and then all of a sudden, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I decided, hey, let's try this. And it makes it more interesting because, yes, if you get to the finals and there are players where you look around and say, well, they're not resting, they're playing, all right, well, you have to figure something out. It makes it more interesting, I find. So, I made the playoffs. I'm currently playing this week, and my wife Lee is also in the championship or in the semifinals, I should say.
Didn't she beat you last year?
Yeah, no, she didn't beat. Well, she won last year. She won last year.
Yeah.
However, I did not make the playoffs last year, so that's happening. Okay, so we'll talk more about that later. Moving over to baseball really quickly. The big news for the Mets, specifically, really three fronts. Daniel Murphy signs with the Washington Nationals, so the Nationals get an added offensive piece, plus, I guess, a step back at second base, because Ian Desmond wasn't that good at second.
He had the most errors in I forget how many games.
How Ian Desmond was in the middle of a lineup, I'll never understand. Like, if you're looking at, he had 20 homers, that's great, he hit 220.
So. What are you going to miss about Murphy Moore? His two left feet or his two base hits?
His two base hits. I think that's especially since the Mets decided to counter not signing Cespedes by going after Alejandro De Aza.
I don't want to cut you off, but I think the Mets are going to miss Murphy's chemistry in the locker
room. I think that's true.
I think he really meshed well with everybody. He was always, you know, in a good mood.
I think that's true, but I don't think that Neil Walker's so different from him.
Yeah, I don't know him as well.
So. He's not a fire plug. Let's just put it that way. Like, he's not somebody to kick people in the balls. But, I mean, it's the same way Murphy, like, just quietly doing your job. Neil Walker's kind of like a quiet leadership. I know he's been that way.
Murphy worked really hard, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, well, they all work. Hopefully they all work hard. But, I mean, it's really just...
It's case by case.
How many games is Wright going to play, and how many times do we have to see Asdrubal Cabrera out there?
Isn't it pitching and hitting, and we expect them to catch the ball?
Right, but it's also defense.
It's more
and
of an individual.
It's sport. Also defense, and Neil Walker is a slight upgrade.
With that pitching staff, they really need defense more than offense.
Right, and that's why you're going to see a lot of Juan Lagares and
Diaz
is pretty good.
Yeah, but after last year, we heard it's not that. It's now you got to have...
Well, lacking the offense last year only got us to 77
right,
and
so
76.
Now you need timely hitting. Or what did I hear at the end of the year? Wasn't about pitching anymore.
Well, it's pitching.
That didn't work.
It's pitching, defense, and timely hitting,
Nobody's in.
So it's pitching, defense, timely hitting. But the Mets had the pitching and some of the defense, and they needed timely hitting.
The main thing about the defense is that it's going to extend, you know, the innings.
Yes.
For like Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
You know. You get 3 or 4 less errors a month.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're picking up, you know, 4 or 5 more innings a month.
That's right.
You go deeper in a game. You don't need to worry about the bullpen as much. You need, you know, 1 or 2 less runs a month to win. You eke out, you know, 3 more wins a month. You know, suddenly you're looking at a 100-win team.
But I think there's other problems there because you had a catcher that couldn't throw people out. You had a second
baseman.
And you had a center fielder that slacked. I mean, the year before that, he was running all over the place, running into the wall, the guard.
Sure, yeah.
The Mets haven't had a good defensive catcher since the
80s. And all of a sudden, he wanted
80s,
a clean uniform. Yeah. So if you're not strong up the middle, now what? So, you know, there's a lot of problems.
And you can watch the young arms in that rotation, too, because Syndergaard already had surgery. You had Harvey, who just came off of surgery.
They've all had time.
Wheeler, who came off of surgery, is coming back in July.
If I could pick one of them, I'd pick Syndergaard.
You like Syndergaard? Syndergaard's something special.
Yeah. Syndergaard is amazing.
All you need to know, Texas fireballer. I'm sold. How many Texas? Josh Beckett, Roger Clemens.
He deadlifts 500, and he's 6'5".
Yeah.
That's all you really have to know.
He's remarkable. He's a giant out there, yeah.
He's built like a Norse god. It's true. So they can
hit a little too. I like to swing the bats too. Yeah.
I want them to come up with a curveball so they can call it Noah's Ark.
that's a good one.
That's perfect. You need to make a sign next time.
Yeah.
Throw the curveball. Yep. Noah's Ark.
But he doesn't.
No, but you built
the sign. When you can hit 101 on the gun, you don't need a curveball when he's 21 years old, right? I mean,
yeah.
He'll get there. He'll get there because he pitches. He doesn't throw.
Yeah. That's all you need. Along with the Mets, they have decided since Cespedes wants 6 years and the Mets were only willing to give them 2 or 3, said they are out of the Cespedes race for good, which we kind of figured. Yeah. I mean, and I'd read an article, we were talking about this earlier, that because of the creditors that the Mets borrowed money from to stay afloat with Major League Baseball, they've had to pay it back. And so the money they gathered from this playoff run this year, I think it was somewhere around $40 million, it has to go back to the creditors. Even the money they save with trading, not signing Cespedes, not signing Murphy, and trading Walker for Nice.
Bernie Madoff's in no position to pay back.
No, but also they have the
Did Bobby Bonilla get a cut?
Oh, Bobby Bonilla always gets a cut.
Bobby Bonilla gets his $1.1 million every year.
Good
for the next 50 years.
Oh, my
gosh.
But there was that court case or the lawsuit that the Wilpons and Saul, what's his name, the other guy, who for like $30 million and they settle out of court, so they have to pay him as well. So a lot of money is leaving the Mets organization.
Well, everybody's a victim.
But they've got a new deal with Coca-Cola.
That's true.
Can't wait to enjoy nice, crisp, cool Coca-Cola.
I'm looking forward to a Sprite more than anything. Well, Ceramist, I like Ceramist, but
let's
Sprite.
Let's just hope it doesn't turn out to be Coke Zero.
Oh, well, that's true. Only zeros are on the board for the away team. So that's happening. And then also coming up, because it is Christmas time and after Christmas. You have the bowl games coming up. Haven't been watching too many of the bowl games. For some reason, ESPN is not really allowing me to watch it. But I did see, I think it was Central Michigan versus, I forget which team, but it was played in Marlins Park. Now, Marlins Park is an eyesore, just green, that awful green, that thing out in center field. But for football, it worked. I think it really looked good. And it was the only way to pack the place. Like, honestly, the Dolphins go there. I think they do pretty well in terms of, you know, people going. It has a nightclub there. And I know the owner is all about, like, trying to get the celebrity just to come, the Cleveland.
Well, the age demographic in nightclubs? I mean, are we talking about South Beach? Or what are we
talking
here?
Well, you get South Beach, you get Boca Raton, you get all these places.
It's a mixer.
Yeah.
I'm thinking day games and salt-free diets.
Well, it's not drawing the crowd out, so maybe if you get Sunday 1 o'clock, sure, they'll come
out. The thing is, aren't they moving in the fences, too, so there's going to be even more seats to be empty there next year?
Yeah.
Who isn't moving them in?
Right, that's true.
That's true. That's true.
Well, why don't they bring those baseballs back? They were stitching really tight in Haiti.
Yeah.
Remember that? I mean, it wasn't drugs. It wasn't...
No, it was the balls.
Yeah, it was just the balls. The chill type of... Juiced balls.
Right. Well, they had to save on stitching because of the gas crisis, so they needed just the... Every inch on a ball meant like 1,000 more balls they can make. So, but the playoffs are coming up New Year's Eve. So let me ask you guys, how many people are going to be watching New Year's Eve, 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock? They're the two games. You've got Oklahoma versus Alabama, and you have Clemson versus
Michigan State.
That's right. Oh, I'm sorry. Michigan State, Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. I think that's how it is. Yes, it is. So 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock, you guys going to be around on New Year's Eve to watch that game? Because that's the big thing, is that, you know, last year was great. All the games, New Year's Day, the Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, perfect. Rose Bowl's never going to move. It's been playing since 1902 was the first Rose Bowl game. You know, 4 or 5 o'clock.
That predates helmets?
Yeah. Or at least face masks. The leather helmets were still in vogue. So, I'll try to watch that 4 o'clock game, but 8 o'clock, you're somewhere. 9 o'clock, you're somewhere on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, my lazy boy.
Well, when I'm saying, you know, I'm or you, I meant, you know, the nation of people.
The awake public.
Right. Yeah. I mean, ESPN's already saying we're going to lose 10 million people off this game to begin
with. Yeah, I don't see myself watching the 8 o'clock game at all.
No.
I'll check up on the scores on my phone, but I'm not going to be tied to the TV.
Of course, you're going to have the boosters, and you're going to have the kids who go there.
Games are going to sell out.
Yeah. People are going to go to the games, especially if you're, Alabama supporter.
Is that 5 o'clock West Coast?
What? Oh, yeah, it's 5 o'clock West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a big difference.
But how... What was it, 46% of the United States lives on the eastern seaboard? So, I mean, those are your people right there. That's who you're aiming for.
Yeah, those are the big markets.
So, but then, of course, you'll get, you know, Iowa versus, who are they playing? Iowa versus Stanford, I think it is. Iowa versus Stanford for the Rose Bowl. So get your excited hats on and then go from there. I don't want to see Alabama win. I think I'm kind of over Alabama. Especially since they have another running back who won a Heisman, who's going into the draft, and it's going to be a high pick to go along with Trent Richardson and Mark Ingram and the on and on and on. So I'm done with them. I'd like to see Michigan State, and I'd like to see Clemson, because Clemson, they're disrespected a lot. So that's just my take. All right, so thank you very much, guys, for joining me.
You're welcome.
On this episode. The number again is 626-427-7678 if you want to tell us who the Vikings coach was, because I forget his name and so do we. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports.
Which Vikings coach?
The Vikings coach before, I forget. He used to be the Eagles.
Can see his face when I
He was bald. He had like a horse, and he had glasses.
He wore glasses, yeah.
He was after Tice, because the big thing was after Tice and the whole boat incident with the Vikings players. He's like, no, this is not how it's going to go. Short, really short little guy. You know, we have all these devices out, and I didn't even think to look. So, but
Brad something?
Oh, Brad! Oh! You're right, Brad.
The name Brad Stevens is coming into my brain for some reason.
Brad Stevens. Ah, it's going to kill us.
Can we get a shout out for NBA real quick?
Yeah, of course. Bring
how
it
about
on.
The Warriors? Are they going to lose again ever?
Well, they.
I don't know how much you're following NBA. But
well, they did have that one loss against the Bucks,
and then they came back and spanked them a couple days later.
That's my favorite part about that because after the Bucks beat the Warriors, then they came out. The Bucks fans wore shirts that said
they had them. They had them before the game started. Yeah,
said 24-1. Yeah. You know, to look like the Bucks. You know, colors in it. 24-1.
Yeah.
And so when the Bucks came to play Golden State, the fans had shirts that said 10-18, you know, in their blue and yellow to show that.
The Bucks won the game. You got to give them a little bit of credit.
The Bucks won the
game,
and good for them. So, yeah, I don't know. But everybody's talking about now, very quietly, the San Antonio Spurs.
The Spurs,
I think they have five losses.
The Spurs are always my pick. They're the best team.
They are.
The Warriors have the best player. The Spurs are the best team.
They
I always feel like
it's Popovich.
Yeah.
That's the final.
And the best coach.
Well, it's going to be the Western Coast final.
Well,
they're both
in the Western Conference, but yeah.
It's going to be like those years in the
end. It's going to come down to
the
those
two
teams.
The best is in the West.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be like those
seasons,
you know, in past seasons in the NFL where the Super Bowl was really the conference championship game.
Yeah.
Because the Super Bowl was just, that's not
going to And whoever wins that's going to clean up against the Cavs in the finals again, probably.
I guess so, yeah. So long as the Cavs can make it. Because there's always that fear, like, it's not going to happen. Poor Cleveland.
Yeah.
I feel bad for them.
Are they ever going to win anything?
One day.
It's the mistake by the lake for a reason.
is Manziel going to be starter next year for Cleveland?
Does it matter?
They need some hope.
Well, does it matter?
Or is Manziel going to start for Dallas next year?
He's more of a dope than a hope. So yeah. I wouldn't put much on him.
Well, I still say that Manziel should have stayed in Texas. Not that he had a choice. He was drafted.
Yeah, of course.
But he belongs. He was a big fish in a small pond at Texas A&M. So you don't have to go to a much bigger pond.
But they took his moniker away.
What
happened to the money finger?
Well, when you get sacked and people are standing over you giving the money sign, this isn't working.
That calmed down a little
bit.
But
you still have direct deposit, right?
I'm pretty sure he still gets paid. Yeah,
exactly.
He gets paid, but they also know don't give him too much. He might go out and drink, so you got to be careful with that. So.
Right.
All right, well, thanks again, guys, for joining me on this Christmas episode. 626-427-7678. Follow us at Everyman Sports. Thank you again, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. This was fun, and we'll talk
to
you
later. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you. Our next episode will be recorded on New Year, so can't wait for that. All right, thank you very much. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.